Welcome into Husker Max today. I'm Caleb Henry alongside Nick Handley. It is Big Ten Baseball Championship Week with the tournament in Omaha. We're through the regular season. And yeah, things got a little iffy for the last couple of weeks where you're thinking, the Huskers haven't locked it up yet. Huskers haven't locked it up yet. Started to get shades of the basketball season just a couple of months ago. But no, instead, baseball does win enough games. And not just win enough games, Nick. This is where I want to start. With the end of that regular season, and I think, if I have this right, over the last like 2 months of play, 8 weekends of play, Nebraska dropped one weekend series, and that was at Iowa. Yeah. And Iowa went into this past weekend needing to win one game to win the conference championship. They didn't, by the way. They got swept at home by Oregon. That's a fun story on its own. But to drop one weekend series over the last like 8 weeks of play, that's surging towards the finish line, even if you're finishing where you are middle of the pack in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think that for Nebraska, I circle the Michigan series more than anything. To me, that was really impressive because there was a string of conference opponents, and you and I talked about this a lot over the last month now, that Nebraska was going to be going up against like-minded teams, meaning there were teams that were trying to play their way into the Big Ten tournament like Nebraska was. So you were going to have those very unusual circumstances in a lot more drama packed games going as early as those Friday night games. And that sense of urgency that Nebraska was going to have to also match and have their own sense of urgency. And other than, well, the last two series was nice to see, but that string of three series wins before that, you had to come from behind and win those games. One, you had to come from behind and win two in one day in that Northwestern series in Lincoln. The Maryland one, that Saturday game, you had to sit through a little bit of a weather delay before you could even start that game. You come back, you win that one, and then just absolutely blitz them on Sunday. And the Minnesota one, that was an uneasy series because Minnesota continued to just really push and push and push Nebraska. Even when they lost the game on Friday, that Saturday they were playing from behind, come back, win on a walk-off. And then on Sunday, they put it a little bit more on Minnesota at the end of the game. But Those series really, I think it pushed Nebraska in a lot of different levels. And I think then you get to that Michigan series where, okay, this was a team that was pretty solidly in the Big Ten tournament, or at least was just all they're trying to do is improve their seeding. And what do? You go out and you take game one and two of that one and had a chance to win on Sunday and a chance to sweep them. And then you take game one in the Purdue series too. So I think every coach right now is saying, hey, we want to be playing our best baseball as we enter postseason, whether that's conference tournament or beyond. And I think Nebraska is definitely in that category, much like Indiana, another team that I think if we're looking at those middle seeds right now, that could be a factor. And I know we'll get into the matchups and everything like that, but Indiana is one of those teams that's playing good baseball right now. And Rutgers is another team that I thought in the last 3 weeks playing some pretty good baseball too, as far as some of those middle seeds that are looking to try to get out of their pool to advance those semifinals.
I know playing the what-if game is dumb, and it gets you nowhere, but I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
What if, Nick, Mason McConaughey doesn't go down? And this team winning, like I said, about seven of their last eight weekend series, with how tight everything was bunched up through a lot of the four through 12, like was not that many games apart. The top three separated themselves right at the end. For Nebraska, having him over those 8 weeks, and let's say wherever he's at and you move the pitching staff around and that becomes four more wins, you're up a couple of spots on the seeds.
I think it's safe to say that Nebraska either pulls off a series that they lost. Go back to that California trip. Maybe they get the USC series. Mm-hmm. Maybe they get one against UCLA. The Iowa game, I don't want to take this. This is probably the hardest one for me. Cade Obermueller is just a fantastic pitcher. Now, he got beat up a little bit this last weekend, but that was a rarity. He is the real deal. So, but
he's going to win Big Ten pitcher.
Right? He has to, in my opinion. I think he has to. Although Jirwa for Michigan State is right up there as well, and it wouldn't shock me. And who Nebraska will face Tuesday night, of course. But there are a lot of things about what Mason brings from a competitive standpoint, but also what happens behind him, how the rotation looks behind him. Are you still having a Mason McConaughey, Ty Horn, and then figuring out Walsh Brockett combo? Is what we've seen Will Walsh be very effective out of the bullpen as well. Does he now become your midweek guy? Does Jackson become your midweek guy? Or this is the other thing that I would bring up with that scenario. And for the record, yeah, I think either they grab a series that they probably lost, or they sweep a series or two that they just won two out of three. So either way, you're getting, I think, at least three or four more wins out of the season with Mason healthy. Mm-hmm. But the Ty Horn thing, I'll bring this up because I think this coaching staff and Rob Childress were really patient, and I'm glad they were, because you're now seeing the fruits of that labor with Ty Horn. That was a guy that I think was on the cusp of potentially working himself out of the weekend rotation, because that pitch count was just getting so darn high in the first two innings that you just couldn't go beyond four innings, and you needed someone that could chew up some innings, even in the absence of Tucker Timmerman. So I think there was a point that they thought, do we need to reevaluate Saturday? And then Ty started getting it going and really started pitching with some confidence and really evolved throughout the season. But if you have Mason set the tone on Friday, who's to say that you could move Ty out of there, move a Will Walsh up to a Saturday and a Jackson Brockett on a Sunday, or vice versa? And maybe they completely stick with Ty. That could have been just, hey, we're gonna ride the roller coaster until we get more consistency. And they did. And to Ty's credit, nothing ever seemed to discourage him with some of those early inconsistencies. And this pitching staff as a whole had some inconsistencies. But I do wonder if Mason is your Friday guy, if there is a little bit quicker pull on Ty Horn, that at some point he's not in the weekend rotation, maybe he works himself back into it, but maybe at some point he loses that Saturday. I'm glad he didn't, because now you're seeing some pretty darn good Ty Horn right now.
Exactly. And you got Tucker Timmerman the last couple of Fridays. Well, Thursday last week, because of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series to close out the year for everybody. By the way, +4 to the win column for Nebraska. That's the number 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament is where that would end up. As it stands, Nebraska, the 8 seed, and in a pod with the 1 seed Oregon and Michigan State, who had to win and get some help on Saturday in order to get themselves into the Big Ten tournament. Huskers and Spartans will open up 6:00 Tuesday night. Loser of that game effectively eliminated, because the tiebreaker in the Big Ten tournament is high seed. It's not runs allowed. It's not runs scored. It's not run differential. It's not least number of pitchers used. It's not coin flip. It's not who's got the prettiest mom in the stands. It is the highest seed. And that means whoever loses out of the two low seeds in whatever pool you are in is effectively eliminated, because if everyone goes 1-1, the high seed gets that high seed in that pool. Number one, Oregon, who had the tiebreaker over UCLA via their series earlier this year. UCLA, the 2. Iowa falls to 3. USC, the 4. Washington, the 5. 4 of your top 5 are the newbies from the West Coast coming in from the Pac-12. But for Nebraska, looking at this schedule right now, Tuesday night against Michigan State, Friday night against Oregon, both of those 6:00, both on the Big Ten Network, and of course on the Huskers Radio Network as well. How do you look at this draw, Nick, for the Huskers with Michigan State opening things up? So you know right away you have to get that one. And then the Friday night, like in a normal Big Ten tournament, if you're playing Friday night, you're expecting that place to be packed, because you're into the tournament and things are rolling.
I would say let's start with how it shakes out for a Tuesday night game, then 2 days off, and then a Friday night game is what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
When you're having two 6 p.m. games on a holiday weekend, especially on a Friday, if that Oregon-Nebraska game is for who will go on to the semifinals, we're going to have a pretty electric environment.
Yeah.
And so that obviously works out well. If you're going to try to upset the number one team who is playing as hot as there is right now, and not only in the Big Ten, but also in college baseball, You want Husker Nation behind your back, and you want a 6 p.m. game to allow everybody to settle in for a fun night, kind of a CWS precursor, if you will, type of crowd. That would be it. So that part I like about it. I like the time slots there for where Nebraska sits. But then there is the obvious. Okay, well, you got to go through Oregon at some point. And Michigan State, you're probably going to have to go through Joseph Jura, who is a lights-out pitcher. He is an absolute stud. So even the 12 seed that you got, if I had my wishes, if Nebraska would have swept Purdue and they're putting themselves in a position to where they could either get the 7 or possibly the 6 seed, boy, the 6 seed is where you want to be. I look at Indiana with a golden opportunity to come out of the bracket C, because we mentioned Iowa has been on the struggle bus lately. You talked about it. They needed one win to win their first ever conference regular season title. Unfortunately, it was against Oregon, but it was at home. It was at Duane Banks Stadium.
It was at home, which, by the way, they have not won a conference title since 1990. That was several months before I was born. Congratulations, Iowa, on not having a single Big Ten baseball title in my lifetime.
Yep. It's and you felt like, and that Iowa team, I saw them in person. It's a good team. It's a team, though, that all of a sudden, as the schedule has gotten a lot more stiff, you've seen a little bit of more chinks in the armor. Mm-hmm. But they're the 3 seed. You've got the 6 seed Indiana, 10 seed Rutgers. I think Rutgers is also playing some pretty good baseball right now. So that would be a spot that I would love to be in, just from the overall competition. If you are the 6 with Iowa and Rutgers to your left and to your right, I think you feel pretty good about that. Even as the 7 seed where Michigan is, UCLA poses a lot of problems, and we already had a chance to see them. But, you know, it's a one game situation. So what do they always say? To beat a team twice is pretty tough. Do it 3 times is really tough. How about 4 times? That's what UCLA would have to do. And I think Illinois, unlike Michigan State, Illinois, everybody has a good Friday night guy, but Michigan State's Friday night guy is dominant. I would take my chances over Illinois' Friday guy than Michigan State's if I had my choice. So the 12 seed is the 12 seed for a reason. But there was also a reason that Michigan State was fantastic on most Fridays because of Jura. And unfortunately, that is likely who Nebraska will see tomorrow night. So from the team to their left and the team to their right, Caleb, I'll be honest, I don't love it. I really don't love the draw for Nebraska.
How's about this? And as the seedings were becoming more clear, when we got to Saturday and it was like, okay, one win moves up this possibility, a loss here, USC and Washington were playing each other to decide who was the 4 and who was the 5. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter because you're in the same pool anyway. All it did, you played a series out between those two teams, and you got to Saturday, and it was this one game decides who has the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
that's what they determined.
Yeah, and that's huge. As we've learned, that's huge.
Yeah. So USC gets the tiebreaker in that pool D, and winner of pool A plays pool D, and USC Washington will play the early game on Friday. They will play their 4th time in just over a week. Mm-hmm. And USC holding that tiebreaker to where Penn State on the other one in that pool. So you'll see who comes out of that. And what my hope with this format, because I think that's where we're at, and we can look bigger picture at the tournament as a whole. But with this format, my hope is that you get to the Friday games and they all matter.
Yeah.
They all matter. You don't have a – because if Nebraska loses on Tuesday – Friday doesn't matter. That game does not matter. And Nebraska, I think, is far enough out. They're not getting an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So you're playing an exhibition game at Charles Schwab at the exact same time as softball is opening up their super regional against Tennessee. Like, it's really tough. And you have the same potential situations with the Iowa and Indiana game right before that, and even USC Washington. Like, you have the potential of that game, not those 3 games, not mattering at all by the time you get to it. Then you go the night before Oregon, Washington. If Nebraska beats Oregon, Michigan State, if Nebraska beats Michigan State, Oregon doesn't have to take that game seriously at all, because Oregon knows the only game they have to win is against Nebraska.
Yep.
And vice versa, Nebraska loses, Oregon knows at 6 o'clock on Thursday, that's the only game they have to win. There's something in this format, in the way I know the Pac-12 used it. I know the ACC used it. The power conference schools, or at least high mid majors, if you want to look at where the Big Ten is probably closer related to, they're not using this format. This format works well if you're going to get 6, 7, 8 bids and you're trying to limit the number of games being played. But Nick, I think you could have limited the games being played by going to just a single elimination bracket. Softball does a single elimination bracket. And guess what? West Lafayette's nowhere near as nice as Omaha. So I think the West Coast teams would have just a fine time in Omaha in a single elimination bracket instead of it being like a Little League travel team tournament on the weekend and you're guaranteed so many games, because that's what this feels like.
Well, and this is where I would throw out, yeah, you're right on that last point. Exactly. It's like, well, hey, you're guaranteed two games. There are things that are good. I'll start with the positive, because I think there's a lot of the negatives that we can get to. I want to start with the positives. Okay. So if you are a team like Oregon or UCLA and you have a chance to host, this tournament protects you for that, because the likelihood of you being in Saturday semifinal and possibly winning the tournament and continuing to rack up some wins and in the process, maybe some decent RPI wins. You know, Nebraska's knocking on the door of being a top 60. They're just outside the top 60. So if you're Oregon and you get a victory over Nebraska, obviously that bolsters you. What I would look at from the positives is if you have in any given year team or teams that are knocking on the door of a super regional host or a regional host, that is, this can help you. This preserves the best teams in your conference by essentially, unless they completely just crap all over themselves and go 0-2, they win one game and they're moving on into the semifinals and they're playing, you know, further into the weekend. And let's be honest, there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on this tournament this year compared to previous years, because you got more teams that are in that host conversation. You know, forget the fact that you have some brands that come with UCLA, that come with Oregon and even USC, but you do have teams that are in that host discussion. So there's going to be a lot more eyeballs that are looking at Omaha more so than they have been in the past. And so that does help. The other part of it is, look, you know exactly how many games you are going to play to win a title. And that's 4. You don't have to do what Nebraska had to do, where you lose the first game of the tournament. And by the end of the week, when you're meeting with the team, like, all right, who's got a good arm? Who can throw? Who can give me 2 innings? Raise your hand, or at least raise the other hand so you don't hurt your other arm. You know, so you're not just gassed through pitching and just trying to figure out things and piece things together. You can set up your week. Now, you might deviate from that plan a little bit, given on how important maybe game 2 compared to game 1 ends up being. But you, for the most part, know what you need to do from a pitching standpoint. So that's also a good thing for all teams involved, not just for the top seeds. Those are the 2 biggest takeaways that I have as far as the positive. The negative: if you're going to do this and you want to be able to utilize the positives of you only have to play 4 games to win a title, you're guaranteed 2 games. Okay, I think those are positives. How about instead of the tiebreaker being the highest seed, how about we reward teams that are worthy that week of baseball? Because isn't that what conference tournaments are? How many times do we see in basketball conference tournaments or in baseball conference tournaments? It's not always the team that was the best in the regular season. It was a team that was best that week. And everyone knows, even though they're cutting down nets as the conference tournament champion, there's a lot of cases that are like, yeah, they just got hot. Okay, and so good for them. And guess what? Chances are the team who won the regular season is going to be just fine going to the NCAA tournament, like Oregon. They're not going anywhere. It's not like if they go 2-Q that, oh, well, there goes their season. No, they're fine. Hell, they're probably still in the host conversation. So I look at it, if we're doing the conference tournaments based on what I always thought the objective and the intent of conference tournaments were, is get to the tournament, and if you play hot and if you get hot, that you have a shot. Well, I understand to get hot, you need to win 2 games, right? If you win 2 games, this is it's not even a conversation you're in, and you don't have to worry about anything. But if it does come to a tiebreaker, say Nebraska beats Oregon, but loses to Michigan State. They beat Oregon. The fact that they would have no shot of going, no shot of advancing. There, at least in my opinion, needs to be something that took place in those games that could work in your favor, especially in the game that you won, whether that is run differential, runs allowed, runs scored total in the 2 games, I know in years past, then you've kind of worked your way down to, okay, RPI, different things that can at least give you some type of what you did that week can mm-hmm. work in your favor other than the result of the game. Okay. And I know what people are saying right now. Well, what you did that week, win two games, and this is not an argument. Well, you're right. But as we know, and as we've seen in this conference, especially in a one-game scenario, anything can happen where we're probably going to see a couple of these pools that are going to have 1-1 teams that unfortunately are just going to go to the higher seed. There's going to be no other debate about it, regardless if you lost 3-2. So you didn't allow a lot of runs. So you played solid defense. You just didn't hit the ball as well. You know, there are just things that I think need to play into that decision on who advances from the week in Omaha as opposed to the entire regular season and what your seed was coming in. Because I think Iowa is a great example. And this is not to pick on Iowa. Iowa's 1-8-1. They fell all the way to a number 3 seed. I'd like to think if you're playing great baseball going into the postseason, you should be rewarded as such. And maybe your play on the field would also reward you during the actual tournament. But Iowa could go 1-1 in their draw, and they're going to get the automatic nod in there. Mm-hmm. Does anybody feel like they're playing outstanding baseball and completely well? Their whole body of work, they deserve to do that. No, I would not say they're out of the 4 seeds. Iowa is not playing good baseball compared to the other 3. So why should they get that benefit of the doubt? I don't like that part of it. And I think it leads to possibly Thursday and Friday games where, again, if we want to talk attendance, this is why the Big Ten has it in Omaha. This tournament is not catered around Nebraska, but let's call a spade a spade. We know what will drive the ticket numbers. We know what will drive the seats is if Nebraska is playing in games that are first convenient to the fans, like a 6 o'clock game where you got that one right, mm-hmm. but they're playing in games that matter. Okay. If you get to a Friday game between Oregon and Nebraska and you already know Oregon's going, that attendance will be half of what it would normally be if there was actually something on the line. That hurts attendance as well. So I get it. It shouldn't be catered around Nebraska, but that drives tickets to that ballpark. We've seen it many, many, many times. So you're also putting that in jeopardy with having that type of a game that has zero meaning where people are like, well, why the hell am I going to go? If Nebraska wins, cool. Am I just supposed to go because it's going to be their last game of the year? You know, so it's just, I don't know. There are ways that I think this could be discussed further after the season. I know it will be up for discussion. I'm just curious on if a lot will change or not. I just wish it would have some type of metrics that take place or that have something to do with what took place on the field at Charles Schwab Field and not the regular season.
A lot of the discussion I was seeing was the pool system is fine if you change the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. If you don't change the tiebreaker and you have this many teams, just go to a single elimination tournament. Like, there's a lot of ways to do it. The tiebreaker as it stands is what is bringing a lot of the negative attention to the format. Let's look at this, though, Nick, in that clearly we are, and unapologetically, looking at this through Nebraska lenses. And a lot of our social feeds are looking at this through Nebraska lenses.
Right.
If Nebraska was a top 4 seed and was preseason picked number 2, would we be weighing the negatives so much right now, knowing that Nebraska was in that driver's seat of just win one and you're in the semifinals? Because Nebraska would have all of the advantages
right.
that we're saying right now are the negatives because Nebraska doesn't have that advantage.
I think you and I both know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And that is, no, we would not be. We would be like, well, you know, they earned that. I mean, aren't you supposed to be rewarded? The exact case that I just made for Iowa.
The body of work, Nick, the body of work over the season gave them a top 4. That's why they should have the advantage.
Let me insert Nebraska into the Iowa discussion that I just had. I'm like, I would completely be changing my tune. Well, you know, they did earn it, but boy, then they had some injuries and some tough luck. And the schedule got a little tighter. So, yeah, you know what?
Last three weekends were tough, but hey, before that, they had given themselves enough strength of schedule with their position. They got the wins, Nick.
Oh, yeah. I would allow my argument to collapse all over itself with this. And it's true. And I think there are teams out there right now, and I mentioned a couple that I feel are going into this tournament playing some pretty good baseball right now. And I think if I were to look at the teams on the left, and the teams on the left I'm saying are the 1 through 4, if you're looking at Oregon, UCLA, Iowa, USC, obviously I would say out of those four, Oregon is playing the best baseball, followed closely behind being UCLA. I think even with Iowa's struggle, I would rather play USC than Iowa right now, because I think USC is ripe for the picking as well. They're a good team, but there's nothing just overwhelming about them. I think Iowa still, when they throw Obermüller on the mound and that lineup that they have, they can put some damage on teams at any given moment. So I would still say out of the four, USC, in my opinion, would be the most vulnerable. In the middle, though, it's really interesting. With the exception of Michigan, and you go back to that series in Lincoln, too. Michigan has stumbled. Remember, they had an 8-game winning streak going into that series against Nebraska. Then they get 2 out of 3 taken from them. Then Indiana goes to Ann Arbor and takes 2 of 3 from Michigan. I think out of that middle group, Michigan, to me, is the most vulnerable, where you have Nebraska, Indiana, and even Washington playing pretty good baseball right now, that I think all of those fan bases could be looking at the way that their teams are playing. So if you're Indiana and you're Washington and you're especially the passionate Washington baseball fans, I say that kind of kiddingly, that they're probably having a very similar gripe of what the heck, especially with how close they were to getting that number 4 seed on a series that they already beat USC. Wow. That's why that one's a tough one to swallow. And then if you're looking at the far right of this group, the 9 through 12 seeds between Penn State, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State, anytime they've got Joseph Jura going, they're going to have a shot to win. But can they string together more than one win? That's the problem for Michigan State. And they need more than one win, obviously, to move on as the lowest seed in the tournament. So they could have a gripe about this. But the other team that I think is actually playing some decent baseball, and another team that has been kind of solid all throughout the year, a little inconsistent, but they're all of a sudden starting to peak as well, is Penn State. Rutgers and Penn State for the bottom 4 seeds, those are teams that I also would think, you got to look out for them. But again, knowing that they have to win 2 as opposed to getting in a 1-1 tiebreaker where maybe that tiebreaker goes their way, they have no shot. So I think there are at least 7 fan bases, given the way that their teams are currently playing, including Nebraska, are having a legitimate gripe about this and should. I think it's a justified gripe about this, because you and I were talking about this before we came on the air. What's good for the ACC is not necessarily good for the Big Ten. If you're taking an ACC model, you got to look at how many teams the ACC typically gets into the Big Ten tournament and what their ultimate goal is, to get as many host schools to actually be host schools in the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten
about bids. They're talking about hosting.
Right, right. They know they're going to get the bids. It's how many hosts can they get? For the Big Ten, I think this is going to be one of the more rare years where there are 2 teams in the Big Ten that are up for hosting, and that being Oregon and UCLA. I would say it's going to be more closer to 1. I would say that number is right around 1 on a given year. Maybe you get 2 every now and then. But again, I think you want to try to get as many teams in as you can. And given the Big Ten RPI compared to the SEC, ACC, even Big 12, it's not the same. So is this format, with the tiebreaker being part of this format, is it good for what the Big Ten is compared to the ACC? In my honest opinion, no, it's not.
Now, looking specifically for Nebraska this week, and we'll wrap up on this. Obviously, you'll have to take care of business on Friday. You'll see where the rotation is for Friday. Oregon will play on Thursday. But Tuesday, and I know we've mentioned Joseph Jura, but he pitched just 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. Do we think he rolls out on short rest against Nebraska? And I know the situation for both teams. It's if you lose, you're out.
Right.
Like, will you lose one? Or do they just see what they can do and roll him out Thursday, where he's had the normal week of rest that you typically get for like your Friday night starter?
From all indications I've heard, that he's going to be the guy tomorrow.
Okay.
And I think you're just, I think, and this is where I think as a lower seed, you're in this boat that you got to put your best foot forward regardless of who you're playing and get that first win. Because then you get that first win, that means all of a sudden the second game is meaningful. Mm-hmm. As opposed to if you gamble and you leave Joseph Jura on the bench, you lose that game. Well, then you can throw Joseph Jura in an absolute meaningless game, which I think as a manager, you're going to be significantly questioned about. Now, if you win that game, you're throwing Joseph Jura, you win that game, then the next game against Purdue or against Oregon on that Thursday night, they get absolutely blitzed. I'm sure there's going to be Michigan State fans like, well, why the hell didn't we hold Jura back?
Right.
Well, I think your easy answer is we had to get to this game to be significant for us to, you know, actually be where we wanted to be. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of situation. I just think, and there might be coaches that have different philosophies, maybe guys that are a little bit more confident in their rotation period, that maybe they could whole staff it and just give hitters a bunch of different looks. And I'm not saying the way that I'm thinking is how all of these head coaches are thinking right now, but for me, especially if you are on the lower seed where you know you don't have that luxury of the seed getting you in, you've got to be able to put your best foot forward, in my opinion. Now, I think to your point, though, Caleb, it does come with the, is our best foot forward Joseph Jura or a Tucker Timmerman on the amount of days rest that they've had? Mm-hmm. And that is going to be, a case-by-case scenario. I think that is going to be a, hey, I need you to be honest with me. Are you feeling good, feeling ready? If we bump you up a day or two, are you good with the rest that you have right now? Those are the honest conversations that you have to have. And those are the conversations that your pitching coach, your head coach, I think even your training staff and the player all have to be involved in. And what you're seeing from that bullpen, that in-between start bullpen that you're having. And if everything looks sharp, mechanically everything looks normal, and then the day after you're feeling like yourself, you don't have anything that feels a little bit off, I think you go forward with it. But if there are anything that seems out of the ordinary, unusual, and this is where the player himself has to be extremely open about how they're feeling and everything mechanically, physically, and even mentally, you have to be completely open, because if they can hold you back and use you in a high leverage game, hopefully, and we can throw our next best guy because he's had a little bit more rest, or we can try to be creative and go whole staff with it and say, we're going to piece this thing together. We're going to midweek it. And then we're just go bullpen, 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 and use our most high leverage arms, knowing that you have a couple of days, or at least in Michigan State's case, a day, in Nebraska's case, 2 days, that you go about it that way as well. So I do think there's going to be a lot of communication going on with probably at least 3 or 4 members of that decision-making think tank when it comes to it. So I don't think your point is a valid one from the standpoint of, are you at your best with that guy moving up a day or two in the rotation? I just think it comes down to, if our guy is good, we got to go with him, because we've got to get to 1-0 to make that next game against the higher seed a meaningful game. And let's just hope for the best in that one. I mean, again, this is the beauty about not playing in the series, playing in just 9 innings. It's baseball. Yes. Anything can happen. So that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for that old postseason adage of, hey, just 1 game, let's get through it and see where the scoreboard is at the end.
If Jura does get it done, looking at this from the Spartan standpoint, and then they figure it out against Oregon, whoever that is, that does leave open that he could come in relief on the weekend.
Sure.
In some capacity. Mm-hmm. Listening, Nebraska, Penn State, Big Ten title a year ago.
Yep.
Oh, the Big Ten pitcher is coming out. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. He's got a little bullpen in him. Oh, he's going to do a little relieving here late. It leaves that opportunity for them. And this is also why, when I look at the format.
Well, hell, Caleb, real quickly, if they were to run it all the way to the championship game, he could potentially start that championship game, right, if he's throwing Tuesday night.
On another short rest. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or if they're just desperate in the semifinal and they say, let's make the championship.
Right. Yeah.
You could start to play that game. This is why when I look at this format, Oregon, there were some people saying Oregon's getting hosed having to play 4 games in 4 days. And I'm saying they get their entire pitching staff lined up because of where they go. They get the most rest of anybody
yep.
waiting to play their first game until the evening game on Thursday, and then the evening game on Friday, and then semifinal Saturday, championship Sunday. Oregon gets the most rest for their pitching staff, and I think that is a – as we look at the situation for what does Tuesday look like for Nebraska, Michigan State, right. it's a massive advantage, not just in the entirety of the format, but for this pool alone that Oregon gets to have full rest for game one for them, game two for Michigan State, and then full rest for their next guy, game two for them, game two for Nebraska Friday night.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I would even add this. This is going to be the most normalcy for any team in the Big Ten because this has essentially now just become a four-game series for them, assuming they make the championship uh-huh. game. So they're playing a three-game series starting on Thursday night, yes. just like they did last week. So they have the exact same amount of rest.
Just don't lose the third game in the series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. The third game, that one is actually going to be a kind of an important one. But yeah, you're playing essentially a three game series, hoping to be a four game series, and you're gonna base your pitching off of that. Now they could theoretically based on and now they have the luxury of saying, okay, we might go with our guy Thursday, we might go with our guy on Friday. It all depends on what happens on Tuesday night. They will know at the conclusion of Tuesday night who they are pitching on Thursday and Friday in that game. But yeah, I mean, I understand where you're seeing these teams have some days off in between. You're thinking, boy, they have such an advantage. But this goes back to the whole format setup. Do you need all of those days off when you know you just have to play four games to win a title? No, you don't really need that. So I would rather, if I'm a coach, would rather more familiarity, more routine, more consistency. And the schedule that Oregon would go through this weekend, if they win the whole thing, would be extremely similar with the exception of just one game heavy of what they've had in every conference weekend. And that is playing a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. So the time in between, I think, is actually an advantage for Oregon as opposed to the teams that just got down the series on Saturday, especially ones out of travel. You get back either late Saturday night or even in some cases Sunday morning, and then you're, you know, having your off day. Then you're traveling over to Omaha to get ready for Big Ten tournament festivities with the practices and everything on Monday, and away you go. And oh, yeah, by the way, how about the forecast? Tell me Oregon doesn't have an advantage. Forecast for the next couple of days is crap. Okay, when we get into the weekend, it gets a little bit warmer as well. So yes, Oregon is in very good shape. I would much rather have their scenario, regardless of the seed, but just that schedule, knowing this is more like a series and more like what we've played throughout this year compared to guys that are playing on a game, then a day off, or in Nebraska's case, 2 days off, and then playing another game. You just don't get a lot of fluidity, in my opinion.
I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but there's every possibility of this happening. That the tournament does not start on time tomorrow, that Illinois, Michigan is pushed into the afternoon, Rutgers, Indiana goes into the evening, and Michigan State and Nebraska are playing at like 9 a.m. to try to get all of the games in.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. There is every possibility. You see this schedule that we have up here. This is very likely to change. For the first 2 days. And that's the other reason they went to the format. They wanted to max it out at three games a day in case a fourth game needed to be added. Mm-hmm. They don't want anything going till 2 a.m, like all of that stuff. So this is where the schedule is. Nebraska 6 o'clock Tuesday against Michigan State, and then hopefully playing for a spot in the semifinals 6 o'clock Friday against top seed Oregon. You can follow all of those games on the Big Ten Network. Husker games also over the radio, Huskers Radio Network, and HuskerMax.com will have all of the results throughout the entirety of the bracket. Nick, what's the radio broadcast look like for this week?
It'll be Ben and myself on the air. Well, after you painted that very pretty picture of the scenario that could play out with the weather, right now, as of Monday morning, as you and I speak, right now we are on the air at 5:30 tomorrow night with the first pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock, and then the same on Friday, 5:30 with the first pitch at 6 o'clock. So that'll be Ben and myself on the Huskers Radio Network, which. Yeah, I'm kind of with you with these first couple of days on what the schedule will look like when I started looking at the weather. At the very least, we know this much. When Nebraska and Michigan State play tomorrow night, it will be a lot chillier than what we're used to here the past couple of weeks. So it will be a little bit more like those mid-March games than it will be for a mid-late May game.
Big Ten tournament. I've never been happier to not be working at a radio affiliate and having to move teams around to chase all of this. I know what that looks like as a Huskers Radio Network affiliate. I know what the guys who work the College World Series dealing with all of that. So that's a whole lot. Nick, hey, I'm looking forward to following it throughout this week. Hopefully you and I are chatting on Thursday for a little bit and looking at a meaningful Friday and into the weekend for Husker baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the emphasis, again, is you got to take care of business. For all these lower seats, you have to take care of business on that first game to have a shot. And for the tournament's sake, I really do hope some of these – nothing against the higher seeds, but I do hope those lower seeds, especially when they're kind of playing each other out early on, I hope they do get those wins, because would love to see some of these top seeds be pushed, at least have to go into that game knowing that they're going to have to win, as opposed to, oh, we're just going to go in and we're going to – you know, play the name game throughout the game, because this game really is meaningless. Let's save our bullets and get ready for a semifinal and hopefully a final push. So yeah, for all the lower seats, and I gave you a handful of them that I think are in at least a good place with where they're playing right now this season and the type of baseball that they're playing right now. I think there's five or six teams on the middle to lower seeds that wouldn't shock me that they would be there on a Thursday or Friday, really putting it on a higher seed and try to force their way into the semifinals.
Nebraska softball is into the Super Regionals in Knoxville, taking on number 7 national seed Tennessee. Watch out for a preview of that series coming up this week as well. Nick, best of luck tomorrow night on the call. Stay warm, a little bit warmer than what they have been, and looking forward to chatting again a little bit later this week. For the rest of you, as always, go Big Red.